Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I don't think this is a given that Buffalo wins this game tonight. Denver out of the bye, like they've looked better the last couple of weeks. Buffalo has some issues. Earlier in the week, I was able to grab Denver plus 7.5, which I like quite a bit.
Greg Roussard over 0.25 sacks at plus 180.
I got Javonte Williams over 13.5 rushing attempts.
Stephon Diggs, ultimate receiving yards, 50 plus at minus 700. Who's making these bets?
I don't know.
Who's doing this? Minus 700.
Sickos are making
you get
bets.
40 cents back on your return?
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Jay Croucher. He's Lawrence Moneyline Jackson. He's Matthew Berry. Connor Rogers is out today. He'll be back later in the week. Good day for us yesterday, Matthew.
Really good day for us. No Connor Rogers today or tomorrow. He'll be back on Thursday. He's dealing with something. We can't wait to see Connor back. But Lawrence Jackson,
yes,
the Moneyline in his stead here today. Lots to get to. The craziest thing is, so we had a good day last night, right? So I suggested that I thought the Broncos could win. Honestly, if their kicker could kick, it shouldn't have come down to that last play. Everyone's bitching about the 12th man, but the truth of the matter is the missed extra point. The whole thing, like the two-point conversion, like it actually shouldn't even have come down to that, or the Bills should have had to attempt a two-point conversion on their last touchdown. And we're going to get to the game in a big way later on and break it all down, waivers today as well. But the crazy part is that somebody, Jay, bet Stephon Diggs, because we do that segment every day. Like here's our bets, our best bets for tonight. And like you had Greg Rousseau over 0.2 at plus money, which cashed.
Plus 180. Yep.
And over the over on Javonte Williams, obviously cashed as well in terms of his rush attempts. So we went, I think, 3 for 3 yesterday. But what I will say is that the person who put DraftKings sends us these most popular bets, you know, bets that have been made, and like who's taken Stephon Diggs over 50 receiving yards against Patrick Surtain at minus 700. Were you shocked by minus 700 as a line there? And then also somebody...
It's not super generous. Yeah, I wouldn't be backing minus 700. Yeah. Good news is he went 3 for 34, so he didn't even cash the 40.
Right.
If anyone backed that at presumably minus 1,500 or whatever that would have been. But that was a ridiculous game. Equal parts sickening and enthralling. One of the most memorable last minutes. Lawrence, do you agree with the decision to get rid of your offensive coordinator after a 12th man comes on the field on special teams?
It's tough, man. It seems like we was in this situation last season with the Washington offensive coordinator. It's like I feel like it always got to be somebody. And I'm not one to, you know, root for someone's firing, especially in this, you know, in this way. Like they literally lost the game on a pass interference call. And just 2 years ago, or a year ago rather, you know, when Brian Daboll left, you bring in Ken Dorsey. Like everybody was saying he was a genius and this, that, and the third. He's had a long career as a offensive.
In fairness to the Bills, just to play devil's advocate here for a second, Lawrence.
Yeah.
In fairness, Ken Dorsey did call the play that Gabe Davis would let the ball go through his hands and somebody else would intercept the ball. That was Ken Dorsey's play. Then he also called the play where James Cook fumbled. That was his call. He played, you know, he said, James Cook, go out there and fumble the ball.
Yeah.
That didn't work out for them.
You got to give him credit, though, for calling the second fumble that James Cook had that was run for
fumble.
Like 50 yards.
He says, don't worry, that's going to come back to us. Yeah. So in fairness to Ken Dorsey, you know, when you call the plays that get these turnovers, right, you know, that hit Gabe Davis in the hands and it goes through him and then they intercept it, you know, Simmons intercepts it and then James Cook just fumbles. Like, Well, they were left with no choice.
It was an absolute mess last night from Sean McDermott. We'll get more into it. But everything that happened on that last drive, the fact that you send the zero blitz to push him out of field goal range, and it works, and then you send it again, inexplicably, when they're already out, and then they get the pass interference.
Because despite all of that, like, you still were going to win the game after that sack. The sack is the last thing you had to have happen if you was the Denver Broncos. And it happened.
Right.
There it is, the pass interference.
It's like, underthrow. That was on Ken Dorsey. Should have told seven here. Listen, it's going to be underthrown. You should turn around, play the ball. You shouldn't get a late pass interference again.
And it's a great job by Jerry Jeudy, too. Like, as the receiver, this is exactly what you're supposed to do on the underthrow. And you know they're going to call it because they're calling that these days.
Yep. I just feel like I get that the expectations of the Bills' offense are really high and they have underperformed. But, like, that loss last night wasn't on the offense in a big way. I mean, like, are there plays that you wish the offense had back? But let me put it this way. I'll say it slightly different. I would argue that loss last night was not on the offensive play calling. You can say it was on the offense.
You can say offense because you can't have turnovers.
They had too many turnovers. And we don't know what's going on. And maybe Josh Allen's making the wrong read or what have you. But, I mean, like, give the Broncos credit. The Broncos defense, since that 70-point, decimation, like, they've been one of the better defenses in the NFL, and they had 2 weeks to prepare for this game, and before the break they shut down Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
They did it twice, really. The Broncos didn't win the game, but it was a close game when they lost to the Chiefs 19-8.
Chiefs won that game thanks to their defense, the Broncos defense. Like, so the Broncos defense is turning around, and like, I'm glad you brought that up because, yes, I thought Scott Turner got completely screwed last year and thrown under the bus and was made a scapegoat for the issues of Ron Rivera and the rest of the coaching staff. And I do think that there's no question this team is underperformed. The Bills have. And I feel like Ken Dorsey, and I'm not even the greatest Ken Dorsey fan, but I just
nah,
like.
Right. You ain't got to be.
But you're just like.
They've got the third most efficient offense in football. And last night it was because it was on Josh Allen and Gabe Davis, and Dalton Kincaid's had moments as well. Like, that's not on the play calling, to your point. Also, last thing on this before we go to waiver wired, I think that your play calling just has to reflect your personnel. And when they called those zero blitzes, you know who wasn't out there? Micah Hyde wasn't out there. Tre'Davious White wasn't out there. You know who they left on an island on the first zero blitz with the game on the line? Damar Hamlin, who hadn't played football since he died on the field last year. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to cover one-on-one with the game on line. And to be fair, they got home that play. And then the next play, Theron Johnson commits the pass interference and they lose. And now they're 5-5. They've got the same record as the Indianapolis Colts. And they're underdogs now to make the playoffs. Incredible scenes in Buffalo. All right.
If you're Joe Douglas, do you pick up Hey, Ken Dorsey, what are you doing this week? Coming up to New York. We're going to hire you to be a special assistant to the offense or something.
Why not? Short week for Buffalo as well. They got a bye in a couple of weeks.
Just like you said yesterday, Matthew, you said, I wouldn't be shocked if the Broncos won this game.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if the Jets beat them, too. They've done it already with Zach Wilson. So the Jets' defense is still there. The Bills' defense, not so much.
That game suddenly becomes a lot more interesting because that's a must-win for both teams now. I mean, both teams should play really desperate in that game. And also, you know what other game got a lot more interesting last night? Vikings-Broncos on Sunday Night Football. I'm just, seriously, 2 weeks ago, we were kind of like looking like, that may not be our best game. But now, Josh Dobbs, the return of Justin Jefferson against a red-hot Broncos defense, the Russessence is happening.
Mr. Unlimited.
The Russessence, come on.
We'll get into the Monday Night Football details in more depth, but it's incredible to me that Kevin O'Connell lets Josh Dobbs do a lot more than Sean Payton lets Russell Wilson do, and only one of those two guys is on a $250 million contract. Anyway, let's get to waiver wired. Lots to get through today. We'll also talk about our best futures bets at the end of the show in addition to Monday Night Football. But let's start off, Matthew, with some strategy. How do you approach waiver wire for playoff teams?
I think it depends on where you are in your league and have a real sense of your team, right? So if you're like, say, I'm just pulling an example out of thin air. Say you're like me in our show league, right, where I'm 8-2. I'm in first place. I'm making the playoffs, right?
Good
this
example
is happening.
To use.
This is absolutely happening, right? So now what I'm doing is I'm looking for backups to my running back. Like I have a good team. So now it's about fortifying my team for the playoff run, looking ahead, looking at the schedule of who my guys are playing in the playoffs. If you play in a league that has that defenses, like, can you grab a defense that might be good in the playoffs, that sort of thing? And also just making sure you have the insurance backs. Like, you have Tony Pollard, you want to go grab Rico Dowdle. I know Pollard hasn't been great, but you wouldn't want to lose him as we get near.
Yeah.
Like, the guys that are sitting on your bench that you've been waiting for these guys to pop, like, you can, okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're now looking, your focus is now about fortifying your roster and constructing your team entirely about the playoffs. You're not worried about the next couple of weeks. Meanwhile, if you're a team that's, you know, whatever, 5-5, maybe you're like Lawrence, you're 3-7 in our league, something like that. Just throw him under the bus.
I was actually gonna bring a counterpoint to that. So what do you do if you have slim playoff chance hopes? You know what I'm saying? So, but
right.
You
no, finish. You've had some bad injury luck. I'm having fun with you. But the fact is that no, but like if you're 5-5 and you're like every match, then you're looking at somebody like Ty Chandler or Devin Singletary who might be valuable this week. You know, somebody that you need to, now you're just on a week-to-week basis, right? So like we're going to get into our running back waivers, and I have Keaton Mitchell at third, as my third running back, because Singletary and Chandler should have more value this week,
yeah.
Especially if Madison doesn't play on Sunday night. But if you're asking me biggest upside for the rest of the season, like there's a chance Keaton Mitchell becomes like poor man's Devon Achane. Like, I mean, yeah. He's got that kind of speed. Like, he could pop that way over the second half. And so you want that kind of those kind of guys as well. I also think it's worth picking up. Like, think about, you know, what Christian Watson did down the stretch. Think about what Amon Ross St. Brown did down the stretch, mm-hmm. His rookie year. Like, rookie wide receivers especially start to pop. So is there, like, I don't think Quentin Johnson is something that I love this week, but could he pop later? Could Marvin Mims pop later in the season as we get on? So again, like, I think you can take a few more of those chances if you're, give you another example, if like I've been struggling at tight end, I'd rather grab three or four tight ends on my bench and hope that I figure out one over the next couple of weeks, where if I know I'm in the playoffs, whereas if I'm trying to get to the playoffs, I'm not doing that. I'm just going with whatever tight end I'm going to start this week. Last thing to mention here before we get there, week 13, the week before the playoffs in a lot of leagues. Some leagues start week 14, some start week 15. But either way, week 13 is going to be a key week to try to get into the playoffs. And just get ahead of this, because that is a brutal week. It is Bipocalypse 2, Bimageddon 2. Here's who's on bye in week 13. The Ravens, the Bills, the Bears, the Giants, the Raiders, the Vikings. So Justin Jefferson, Devontae Adams, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, DJ Moore, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, so on and so forth.
That's
right?
Some people's whole roster. Right.
I'm just saying, again, use this. People aren't focused yet on week 13. Focus on week 13. If you're sitting there at 5-5, you're 6-4, you're like, hey, I need to win out to make the playoffs. And just realize, looking ahead, like, hey, what's my team going to look like in week 13 specifically? Again, you can never deal with injuries, but just understand how you approach the waiver wire this week and the rest of the season depends on where your team is, whether you're definitely making the playoffs or if you need to start winning some games. This is be honest with yourself time. This is look in the mirror time. This is not time to, like, you know, no, he's coming around. This is like, yeah, be honest with yourself.
They have not.
If you got it or you don't, okay? And so, yeah. Like, we can smoke and mirrors our way there, but we just got to be aware of what we have.
When you mentioned Keaton Mitchell, and you know, in our show league, I actually have Keaton Mitchell on my 3-7 team. That's part of the reason it's 3-7. But I have guys like Aaron Jones, who was hurt early in the season, which is why I'm 3-7. Garrett Wilson, who's just now, but it's too late now, you know. So if you're in that position, 3-7 with some guys just now starting to play good, it may be some teams that are 8-2. Like, you might have to give up one of them guys to get some depth if you're still fighting for that last chance at the fantasy playoffs.
Like, you should be like, hey, Matthew, I have Keaton Mitchell. Keaton Mitchell isn't good, you know, he's like so-so this week. And he's going to be on bye in week 13, but he's somebody who might pop in the playoffs. Do you have somebody usable for me this week for the next 2 weeks?
Right.
That, you know what I mean? And so we can talk. Probably not going to do a deal, I'll be honest with you.
I mean, you can afford a loss. This is
true.
Like, I score my highest point to still loss.
I'll tell you one thing I have done where I have literally gone to somebody that, like, when I was in a reverse situation, when I was, like, in a must-win situation, like, the week, getting, and I, like if I was week 13, and I'm like, I know I need to win in week 13, and I'm playing a guy that has, that is definitely making the playoffs, playing another team, I might say to him, like, hey, I'll tell you what, I'll give you Mark Andrews, and my tight end is Mark Andrews, I'll give you Mark Andrews for a lesser tight end that's playing this week. You take Mark Andrews, you're going to take a loss this week, but you'll have Mark Andrews for the playoffs. You don't need, it doesn't matter if you win or not. And this way, I win this week, and I live to fight another day, and then we figure it out.
Got to get it how you live.
Exactly. Do what you can.
Okay, well, let's try find some of these guys on the waiver wire. Let's start with running backs. Reminder, some of the guys on bye this week, Bijan Robinson, Jonathan Taylor, Ramondre Stevenson, Alvin Kamara, and their understudies, Algier, Moss, and Elliott.
Now, you said who's on bye? You said what the Atlanta running back is who?
Bijan Robinson.
Okay, so I said yesterday Bijan Robinson's on a bye this week. And there was a controversy whether it's Bijan or Bijan. Hey, Pete, since we're stuck with you today, can you roll the tape? Let's hear from the man himself.
How you pronounce my name is Bijan.
Okay.
Like, that's how you say my name. But I say Bijan.
Okay.
And I don't know why I say that. Like, all my life I said that, and my mom's like, why do you say your name like that? Like, and I mean, that's just how everybody says it, but I don't, it doesn't really, like, affect me on how it's said. So if you guys want to say Bijan, like, go ahead. But if you guys want to say Bijan, I mean, I'm cool with that too.
Okay, well, that doesn't help.
That doesn't help at all.
I think everybody right.
Everyone's right. I have said Bijan Robinson, and I'll tell you why. Because I respect his mother. I respect the wishes of Mama Robinson. So there you go.
I respect Bijan himself.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, it's just about who you respect in this game. I also respect
Lawrence. You're anti-mom. Yeah, you're like Lawrence. You're the anti-Zach Wilson.
Lawrence.
I respect Lawrence. I respect Devin Singletary after he went 30 for 150 in a touchdown first time all season. The Texans were able to run the ball. Are you buying this going forward? Do you think Singletary maintains his role when Damian Pierce inevitably comes back?
Well, I think it hurts Damian Pierce more than anything because at the very least, this thing is a 50-50 split, and it was trending that way already. You got Devin Singletary. By the way, he had a career high, 150. Like, he never did this with the Bills. So now he gets on the Texans, and he runs for 150 yards. That was amazing. He's got 90% of the team's running back touches over the past 2 weeks with Pierce out. Now, Damian Pierce wasn't reaching that type of, volume. He wasn't getting that volume when he was, but that's because Devin Singletary was eating into that. So it'll be interesting to see when he comes back. But I think it's a 50-50 split. He's just been too effective, especially in the big win, for them to go back now.
There are rumors that Ken Dorsey was actually fired because Devin Singletary went for 150 yards this week.
I haven't
been able to confirm that.
Right, exactly. Look what this guy's doing on Houston. Yeah. He never did that with us, Ken Dorsey. You're fired. You're absolutely fired.
You might got some legs on that. That might be true.
There's something there. I will say this to your point. Whether Pierce comes back or not, I don't think he can put that genie back in the bottle, so to speak. Singletary certainly earned more work, and they play Arizona this week, just in terms of picking up guys that are available this week. They play Arizona this week, and Denny Carter talked about this over the weekend on Fantasy Football Pregame about how Arizona is such a run funnel defense. And everyone had to drink because he said the word funnel like 800 times. But the fact is, he's right. Teams facing the Cardinals averaging over 26 running back carries per game. They allow the third most fantasy points to opposing running backs as well. Singletary is going to be somebody that is likely going to make my love list again this week as well. So I think Singletary, who's available in 50% of Yahoo leagues, if he's out there in yours, very much worth a pickup, especially if you're looking for somebody this week.
Yep, Matthew, Ty Chandler came into the game when Alexander Mattison was concussed. Cam Akers obviously out for the season with his Achilles. Now, he didn't have a great stat line, but he scored a touchdown out of the Wildcat and just seemed to give them more zip in the offense.
Right, and they're playing at Denver on Sunday Night Football, as we talked about here. The mobility of Josh Dobbs, I think, opens up this run game here. Also, the return of Justin Jefferson as well. He's a starting running back in the NFL, and that's going to have value. Denver allowed You know, as good as the Denver defense played last night, they still gave up almost 200 rushing yards and over 7 yards per carry. I mean, James Cook, when he wasn't fumbling, was running all over them. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. So Chandler on the road at Denver, I think, is certainly a viable pickup. For whatever reason, I kept confusing him with Ty Johnson, the former Jets player. I was talking to Connor, like, why didn't Ty Chandler do more in the Jets? You know, I was giving him crap.
Tough, because he wasn't on the team.
Because he wasn't on the team. Yeah,
but if he would have been.
I don't know why I did that, but I just had this weird brain fart where I just keep confusing Ty Chandler, who was legit drafted by the Vikings. He's been on the Vikings his entire pro career.
UNC.
For Ty Johnson, former Jet great. Anyway, Ty Chandler's out there, and we'll see if Madison clears the concussion protocol. But it seems, at the very least, he's earned a bigger portion of the backfield. Doesn't seem like they want to give Madison this whole workload, and now that Cam Akers is gone. And then, obviously, if Madison doesn't clear the protocol, he'll be the starting running back on Sunday night.
Yeah. Lawrence, Keaton Mitchell, not a lot went right for the Ravens against the Browns, but Keaton Mitchell, just the explosiveness that he showed, you'd expect that he'll be a bigger part of the offense going forward.
Yeah, you know why it didn't go right? Because they stopped giving him the ball. He had 3 carries in the game. Look, his season numbers is just crazy, right? 12 carries, 172 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That's like he's basically Divine Achane for the Ravens. Explosive. John Harbaugh said we didn't want to put too much pressure on the rookie in a tight game situation, but what? He had their 2 biggest plays of the game outside of the OBJ 40-yard touchdown, but 2.4 fantasy points per touch over the past 2 weeks is something, Matthew.
That is a very impressive number for people who don't understand. Like, 2.4 fantasy points per touch is ridiculous. I actually heard a rumor that Ken Dorsey was fired because Keaton Mitchell didn't get more work.
Oh, yeah,
like, it's just very upsetting. They're just like, why are you not getting your best player more work? Exactly. Get out of here, Ken Dorsey. Yeah. So it's like, I don't call the plays for Baltimore.
Yeah.
But they'd already been fired. Yeah. So it was
unfortunately, when you confuse Ty Chandler with Ty Johnson, the Bills actually just fired you as well, Matthew.
Fair enough. Not the first time they fired me as well. Well, listen, I can never be too angry at Buffalo because that was where you and I had our one magical night.
Which I still don't know about and don't want to know about.
That is correct.
Y'all got that.
It'll be between me and Jay and 4 magical walls. I'll just say this.
Holiday.
You know, you call it the Holiday Inn, I call it the Love Shack.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. The fact of the matter is that Keaton Mitchell, he's had 15 touches this season. 4 of them have gone for over 30 yards. 4 of them. And you think about this matchup against Cincinnati, where they are allowing the 5th highest yards per carry to opposing running backs this season. Again, we just talked up Devin Singletary and what he just did to the Bengals as well. This is Keaton Mitchell. And again, like we talked about at the top of the show, tell me what you're doing. Like, if I'm 8-2 and Keaton Mitchell, or 7-3 or whatever, and I don't need somebody for quote-unquote this week, love the he has the most upside of anyone. And by the way, if you don't have Keaton Mitchell and he's gone in your league, it's your own fault, because we literally have been making fun of Michael Smith for bringing him up in, like, week 1. You know what I mean? This is something that we talked about. Like, this is a guy, right? You know, he is somebody that has been talked about on the show quite a bit as well, as somebody that we saw him pop in the preseason. We knew all kind of speed. Connor loves him as well. Talked about his career. East Carolina, I believe, right?
Yep.
Yes.
And the thing is as well is that now he gets the Bengals, who Devin Singletary just lit up after they hadn't been able to light up anyone. It was funny watching Keaton Mitchell just burn the safety around the edge, and compare that to Latavius Murray not being able to burn DJ
just
Jones.
Just outran the angle.
Yes, he did.
Well, Latavius Murray kind of, like, he looked like he tipping when no knee lift there.
Not great. Well,
so hopefully the big plays, you know, you mentioned Harbaugh saying that, like, hey, you know, we didn't want to put too much on the rookie, but hopefully he is earned.
And he don't have to have the goal line touches.
No, he
just give him more.
Well, when you're not being tackled, when you're running it in from the 40, it doesn't matter. You know, you don't need any goal line touches.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's earned a bigger share, and we expect that role to increase as the season progresses. Love him for the second half of the year. If you're you and I should talk about Keaton Mitchell.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned upside, Matthew, with Keaton Mitchell. Zach Charbonnet has a ton of upside as well. He is going against the Rams. Looks like Stafford will be back for that one. And he got a bit more usage against your Washington Commanders.
11 touches last week. That was a season high for him. He's now had 3 straight games with a snap rate above 50%. It is a committee there in Seattle, but Ken Walker has been banged up throughout his career. Came into, you know, into the NFL banged up, but he's, you know, hurt a little bit in preseason this year as well. So somebody that for deeper leagues he's probably already rostered. But again, as we sort of talk about roster construction, if something were to happen to Walker, Charbonnet would be a top 15 fantasy running back any week that Walker was out.
Yep, I agree there. Lawrence, Tyjae Spears, another young rookie running back. He went 4-for-42 through the air.
Jay and I have talked. You're never on the waiver show. Jay and I have talked about Tyjae Spears literally for 2 months straight.
I don't know why he's still on the street.
I don't know. Because they hate us. America hates us. They're just like, Barry's recommended Spears, I'm out. But, Lawrence, can you talk about so I don't have to?
The best thing about this is, no, you're not getting 100-yard games, but in a PPR type of a league, which is what most of us play nowadays, you'll take what he did in Week 10, 4 receptions, 42 yards as a long shot flex. The important thing here is a 52% snap rate this season along with Derrick Henry. So Derrick Henry's still, you know, the goal line back. But they've proven that they depend on Tyjae Spears from time to time. And the schedule coming up here, you got the Jaguars, the Panthers, and the Colts. The Panthers and the Colts are amongst the worst rushing defenses. Matter of fact, they're amongst the worst against defending running backs in fantasy this season. So you like the matchups there. And Tyjae Spears has been known to, you know, catch a pass and take it for a long game. So now you don't have to talk about him as much. I just did. I'm just reiterating what these gentlemen have been doing the past, well, really the whole season.
Yeah, okay. Let's move on to Darrell Henderson, Matthew. Kyren Williams expected per Sean McVay to make a return when eligible in Week 12. This is Week 11, however. Do you think he's viable this week?
It's literally just about this week as well against the Seahawks. Like, he's averaging over 15 touches per game in his three games that he's played this season. Brian Robinson had a big game through the air against the Seahawks last week as well. Henderson is more of the pass-catching running back between him and Royce Freeman as well. Freeman's been more effective than Henderson, but whatever. Henderson's been the guy. It's kind of a 50-50, so I prefer Henderson to Freeman just because of the passing game usage, but Freeman probably has the better chance to get into the end zone. But again, they'll be close in my rankings. It's just sort of like, hey, if you need somebody that qualifies at running back this week, Darrell Henderson qualifies at running back this week and does not have a terrible matchup. Seattle has fallen off recently against the run, whereas they started off the season really, really high. But so far this season, they've struggled. And actually, over the last 4 weeks, no team in the NFL has given up more rushing yards per game than the Seattle Seahawks.
Yep, so, Sean has come off the Seattle defense a little bit. Let's take a look at how you rank these running back waiver wire targets. Matthew, you got Devin Singletary at number one coming off the massive game. Ty Chandler, 2. Keaton Mitchell, 3. Maybe more of an upside play there. Certainly upside plays in Zach Charbonnet and Tyjae Spears as the season goes on. And then number 6, Darrell Henderson, more of a this week play. All right, let's jump to wide receivers and take a look at some of the notable ones on by Michael Pittman coming off a solid game. In Europe, Chris Olave, Drake London, Rashid Shaheed, who just cannot make it happen at the moment. Josh Downs, Michael Thomas, who was also injured, get well, Michael, and Demario Douglas, also on bye. Not really the star-studded lineup that was on bye at running back, but still some guys.
Pittman and Olave and London.
Olave quietly got right as well.
Yeah, especially. You're hoping out of the bye it's Jameis Winston if you have Olave.
Yep, okay.
And Demario Douglas has been a thing last year.
He's coming along.
He's been thing adjacent. Yeah, Demario Douglas. All right, Lawrence, let's start with you. Texans wide receiver Noah Brown, who just keeps on going off.
Yeah, definitely pick him up. Obviously, you know, look out for Nico Collins coming back here, but back-to-back games, 150 receiving yards. The Cowboys is probably like, hey, because he used to play for the Cowboys, they're like, hey, where was this when you was with us? 20% target share in 3 of the past 4 games since coming back off IR again. 3 of those games had Nico Collins in them. 44% of his yards have come after the catch, and he caught one last game against the Bengals where he broke 2 or 3 tackles.
Yep.
This is not it.
But
it's another one of his.
Go ahead, Matthew.
No, you're watching footage of Noah Brown, and what's impressive about Noah Brown is, like, they're using him in the slot, so he's running his routes there. They play Arizona this week again, which I think is impressive. And you look at the upcoming schedule: Arizona, Jacksonville, Denver, the Jets. Good defenses, but all teams that you can throw against in the slot, and so again, similar to what we talked to about with kind of Devin Singletary, I don't think this goes back into the bottle. Like, I just think if you're the Texans, like, we have something. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Noah Brown. Like, that's our three across. Like, and we're obviously going to be very pass happy as well. You see it there on your screen in terms of the last four games, what Noah Brown has done. Really, it's increased. It keeps increasing. Like, from 2 for 37 to 3 for 57, 6 for 153, 7 for 172. Like,
would
Noah Brown.
Would you consider him a flex with Nico Collins back?
I would. Again, as you mentioned, since he's returned from IR, he's got a 20% target share in three of the four games since returning. And of those four games, Nico Collins played in three of them. Yeah. Again, and I know Tank Dell's been in and out as well, but I don't know. I just sort of feel like this is as hot a passing offense as there is in the NFL.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Insanely easy schedule upcoming for the Texans as well, so they should be able to light up some opposing defenses. Team that doesn't really light up opposing defenses, Matthew, is the Patriots, but DeMario Douglas is effectively their wide receiver one. He's on bye this week, but what do you think of his prospects going forward?
Well, I like him, and we've talked about Pop Douglas a couple of weeks now in a row, that once Devontae Parker went out, Kendrick Bourne went out for the year, Devontae Parker's been struggling with the concussion being in the protocol. We've been like, listen, it's like it's him or Juju Smith-Schuster, and, you know, we love Juju here. You know, Lawrence is in business with Juju.
Yeah, but, yeah. Shout out to Juju, man.
Right. But the fact of the matter is, at this stage of his career, it's been tough for Juju to get going. And this is somebody who, I've talked about this multiple times, but we know, like, I'm happy to give you my source. Devin McCourty told me, like, when he went to Patriots camp this in the preseason, former Patriot, now NBC teammate Devin McCourty, he was just like, they love DeMario Douglas, and they were talking him up. And so he had the bad fumble early in the season, was in the doghouse for a bit, but has emerged and has become their guy. Targets, receptions, yards, all season highs in Week 10 against the Colts, where he went 6 for 84, one of the few things that was working right for this Patriots offense. We don't know who the starting quarterback will be when they come out of the bye. Belichick,
I don't think it matter. Because he going to get his either
correct.
Way. And just to take it off of a fantasy perspective, if you're watching the Patriots
correct.
Offense, you see who the best playmaker and most explosive playmaker is that they have at this point.
Yep.
100%. By the way, last 4 weeks, 23% target share for DeMario Douglas, to your point.
Yep. Lawrence, I always like to get your opinion on secondary Cleveland Browns wide receivers. And now
does.
Donovan Peoples-Jones is gone. Elijah Moore comes more to the fore, coming off a solid game against the Ravens.
Well, first off, Elijah Moore needs more names for me to like, because, you know, I like the players
you
with
like
two last names.
Right.
Week 10, 5 catches, 44 yards and a touchdown there. What he is he's the solidified number two receiver in that Browns offense. It's like you could pick him up, put him on your bench, see what happens there. You know what his role is, but in the Browns offense, which is definitely getting better, I don't know if it's a point where, you know, you're throwing him in a lineup on an offense that's not like the Houston Texans. Like, you could feel confident starting multiple receivers on a team like the Texans, not so much the Cleveland Browns. 19.5% target share this season, which is a little over 6.3 targets a game, at least one red zone target in four of his past five games. So he's going to get the opportunities here and there. And you know they'll also give it to him in the backfield sometimes too.
1,000%. And Watson being back and looking like Watson certainly elevates that offense. Next guy on my list here, Lawrence, is Brandon Cooks. Look, he's scored in three of the past four games. That's exciting. He's had twice as many targets as Michael Gallup over the past 3 weeks. That's the key here, is it's like, if you want a piece of the Cowboys offense beyond CeeDee Lamb or Jake Ferguson, it feels like it's Brandon Cooks. Now, the concern is that 51% of his receiving yards this year came in Week 10 against the Giants. But they play the Panthers and then the Commanders and then the Seahawks and then the Eagles. So the next two, at least, are not defenses that scare you. Brandon Cooks is available in 62% of leagues.
And then Quentin Johnston, Lawrence, who has become a little bit more of a focal point in the Chargers offense just because they don't have anyone else. What are you expecting from him going forward?
Yeah, volume's not crazy, but his snap percentage has gone up. 84% of the offensive snaps over the last 2 weeks. He scored his first touchdown in Week 10. Again, it wasn't crazy numbers. Caught four passes for 34 yards. If he doesn't get the touchdown, obviously we're not as happy. But again, he's in the game now. Beginning of the season, he wasn't in the game at all. Now he's playing a better part of the snap. So you like him more. Like, I'll take him more than Jalen Guyton.
I like him more than Jalen Guyton just based on talent, but the fact is Guyton got more targets in this past game than Quentin Johnston did, and Guyton played 78% of the snaps. So one of the reasons why Johnston isn't as high as you might think he would be is because of the presence of Jalen Guyton. The fact of the matter is this offense goes through Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler, and then you've got Guyton and Johnston competing with the tight ends for whatever's left after those two. So he's on there. We like the talent. We hope he emerges, but we're not ready to go all in. Just like if you need somebody this week, there's better options than Quentin Johnston because of the presence of Jalen Guyton.
Yep. Let's take a look at some deep league wide receiver targets, headlined by Jaden Reed, Michael Wilson, Trenton Irwin, who caught a crisp touchdown from Joe Burrow, and looks like T. Higgins is probably going to be out against the Ravens on Thursday Night Football. And then Marvin Mims against Minnesota on Sunday night, Matthew.
Yeah, we'll talk more about this game coming up, but the fact is that Mims, even though he didn't do much against the Bills, the fact is he played 69% of the team's snaps. And Sean Payton talking about wanting to get him more involved. This is somebody that Payton himself drafted in the second round. So I do think Marvin Mims is one of those guys that could have a big second half as these rookie wide receivers. Michael Wilson, 4 straight games with 3 or more receptions as well. Kyler Murray back certainly helps that entire offense as well.
Okay, let's look at the rankings, how we order these guys in terms of picking them up. Noah Brown first, Demario Douglas second, then Elijah Moore, Brandon Cooks, who the week before that 173-yard game had 1 catch for 7 yards.
Right.
And then Quentin Johnston is fifth, more of a flyer.
Again, it all depends on what else you need. You know, if you need somebody for later in the season, Demario Douglas and Quentin Johnston would be more priorities for me. If you're like, I need somebody this week. Listen, I like Noah Brown this week and moving forward, but the rest of the guys, like, you know, Brandon Cooks is more of like a this week play, and we'll see.
Noah Brown just took over for Robert Woods, huh?
Yeah. Well, Bobby Trees is,
overdue. Okay, let's take a look at quarterbacks on the waiver wire. Headlined Lawrence by who I term basically the NFL's answer to Linsanity, and that's Dobbsanity at the moment. He is available still in 47% of leagues. He shouldn't be available in any league at the moment. And then Russell Wilson, Matthew Stafford, and Jordan Love.
Astronaut Joshua Dobbs making his Sunday Night Football.
He absolutely should not be available
on
any waivers. He's a weekly starter.
Correct. Factually correct. He's a weekly starter. He's got mobility and Justin Jefferson coming back on a fantasy-friendly pass-first offense.
This man as a Viking is quarterback 3 in fantasy football.
Yeah, he's certainly the guy who stands out most on this list. Matthew, Russell Wilson.
I like the Pastronaut as a...
You know, like Dobbsanity, the Dobb father?
No, I like Pastronaut.
Dobby?
Dobby.
I was very invested in the Vikings winning that game on the weekend, and I may have sent some very strange voice messages to friends doing the Dobby. I'm not
like
gonna do
what?
That.
What was the Dobby voice? Dobby. Dobby, is that a touchdown, Dobby?
Yeah, it was very
That's
bad.
Exactly what I would have imagined.
Yeah, it was very, very
grim. I think we have our open for tomorrow. Russell Wilson against Minnesota, like, he's looked better. I mean, one of the things is the Russessance is happening. He's now had at least 17 fantasy points each of the past 2 games. He's had at least 2 total touchdowns in 6 of 9 games. There's at least a floor now with Russell Wilson, who gets you some points with his legs as well, at least 30 rushing yards in 4 of the past 5. So that's the other thing that's been nice is that, you know, as the Broncos have gotten better and gotten more familiar with Sean Payton and the offense, the fact is that Russ is starting to run again. Again, like, he's not going to remind you of Lamar or Josh Allen or anything like that, but 30 yards is 30 yards.
More than if I know I'm getting 20 to 30 rushing yards from Russell Wilson, knowing what else he's going to do, I'll take that every single time.
He's fine. He's completely fine. He's available in 54% of leagues. Matthew Stafford back. How healthy is he going to be? Like, you know, is he gutting it out or is he 100%? We don't know yet. If he were 100% healthy, I might have him higher than Russell Wilson. It's kind of right there, either or. But because we have questions about the full health of him and he doesn't run, I have Wilson over Stafford. I will just say this. He plays Seattle this week. We just saw future Hall of Famer Sam Howell light up the Seahawks. When these two teams played in week 1, Stafford had over 330 yards in that game against Seattle as well. And you have to believe positive touchdown regression is coming for Stafford. So far this year, he's had a career low 2.8% touchdown rate. For his career, he's usually 4.7 entering this season. So positive touchdowns coming with a healthy Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua as well.
Yep. Okay, let's jump to tight ends and start off with...
And Jordan Love if you're desperate.
Yeah, it's very desperate. All right, don't have to be desperate, though, Lawrence, for Trey McBride, who's been an absolute monster, and he went 8 for 131.
How is this guy still available?
Yeah, this is another one where I'm like... Y'all got to pick him up. 50% available in Yahoo leagues. That's way too much.
McBride is only 41% available, but we want to mention him just because we think he should be 0% available. The
Definitely.
Fact that he's available in 41% of Yahoo leagues is crazy, Lawrence.
I don't think the matchups for him matter at this point. You got Kyler back. They look like they've been working on their chemistry these past 3 weeks because he was the guy that Kyler depended on when the game was on the line, throughout the game, early, late, no matter what have you. He's a tight end one the rest of the way.
Yeah, hopefully he's gone in your league and hopefully he's on your roster because, again, this is somebody that we talked about how when Ertz went down, McBride was going to be the focal point. This is a team that was top two in tight end target share just as an offense. Since Zach Ertz went down, McBride is the third best tight end in fantasy. You see some of the other waiver targets there, assuming McBride is gone in your league. How about Pat Freiermuth, who had 4 end zone targets in less than 4 full games played? Something has to get better for this Steelers offense. Luke Musgrave, I'm telling you, at some point this season, Luke Musgrave's going to be a thing.
It's kind of happening at the
moment.
It's
starting to happen. Like McBride, we've seen McBride, we've seen Kincaid, we've seen Michael Mayer took out a touchdown. Some of these young tight ends starting to come in to their thing. And so, you know, Musgrave, who's had over 50 receiving yards in consecutive games, it's a nice matchup with the Chargers to allow the third most fantasy points to opposing tight ends this week if you need a streamer this week with Musgrave. Then Tyler Conklin, he's out there. He plays for the Jets. Second most targets for the Jets there, at Lawrence. And then Tanner Hudson is 100% available.
As he probably should be.
I don't know. Look, he's had at least 10 receptions the last 2 games. He's out targeting Irv Smith 12-5 over that stretch as well. They're playing Baltimore on the short week. This is the Thursday night game. But again, if you're desperate, Tanner Hudson is somebody who qualifies a tight end, and you could do worse. And probably have.
Yeah, Musgrave's the guy on that list that is the most interesting. Jordan Love quietly has been playing a little bit better.
And look out, Green Bay plays the Chargers, and then they play the Lions. And we saw those two teams play each other and saw what
like
they gave up.
Game.
So, yeah, there you go.
Okay, let's look at some defense special team targets, starting off with the Dolphins at home. Off of the bye, Lawrence, they attack Aiden O'Connell and the Raiders, and then you also have the Commanders, Jags, and Lions in favorable matchups. Who do you like here?
Yeah, like the Dolphins here. You got the Raiders are definitely playing inspired football under Antonio Pierce. The offense still isn't doing much, though, and you like a decent Miami defense here against any rookie quarterback, especially if they're making their first few starts. I also like the Jaguars here. Yes, they just got thumped by the 49ers and bullied off the field, but that's not going to happen versus the Tennessee Titans team, who they've been struggling as well against. They struggled against the Tampa Bay defense that you should be able to throw against them. Since Will Levis's first game, it really hasn't been up to par. So I like the Jags and the Dolphins here. You got Matthews Commanders here going against the Giants. We'll never be mad at starting a defense against young Tommy DeVito, who gets the man made.
Yeah.
They made you want to do that name, DeVito.
A slight variation on the Luigi.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a little more New Jersey.
A little more New Jersey as well.
By the way, the
Lions, like, Justin Fields should be back for the Bears, so that's not as good a matchup as you might think. But the fact is that the Lions defense is good. I mean, and that team is playing really well. The game's in Detroit as well.
Okay, let's close out with some droppables so you can pick up these players. Derek Carr, who seems to have avoided major injury, and he's on a bye, but he is not performing up to fantasy standard. Zach Moss, Jonathan Taylor, that's his backfield now. Miles Sanders as well, that's Chuba Hubbard's. Michael Thomas, feared to have significant injury. What are you looking at me,
because you have him in our league. Are you going to drop him? Will you drop him?
You know,
he gonna drop him and pick him up.
You know, on Friday I was at a wedding, celebration of love, and then I got a message that Michael Thomas had attacked someone with a brick, which just shows your life. It's ups and downs. Darren Waller, also droppable with his health concerns and also just everything that's going on
with
the
Giants
offense at the moment.
Tommy wonder DeVito. If Dayball brings Dorsey over.
Yeah, maybe. You can do anything. It doesn't matter. Anything new will be better. All right, we're going to hit our first break. When we come back, we'll dive deeper into the big Monday Night Football game and the Broncos' redonkulous win over the Buffalo Bills.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clear skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clear skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Sucks. Shouldn't have been in that position in the first place. A lot of bad football. A lot of bad football.
After this performance, do you remain confident after all the, quote, and to use your words, bad football that was put on display tonight?
Yeah, I'm still confident, but it's no secret the clock's ticking, you know. Gotta have some urgency now.
Okay, Bills Mafia drinks free, a forlorn Josh Allen. Been some tough press conferences for Josh this season, 5-5. Would have hoped the urgency might have kicked in a little earlier than 5-5. He struggled, and he was one of the stories. But to me, Matthew, certainly one of the biggest stories was Stephon Diggs and just doing largely nothing, going 3-34 and not cracking the fantasy leaders in this matchup. This is the top 10 performers fantasy-wise in Bills Broncos, and Stephon Diggs, nowhere to be seen. Fewer points than some of the fantasy superstars of the world, such as Samaje Perine and Latavius Murray.
Yeah, this is a super annoying game for about 8 billion reasons. I'm in three guillotine leagues. Actually, I'm in four, but I've already been eliminated in one of them. So I was in three, and in one league, I needed 24 points from Josh Allen to beat Steven D'Agostino.
Yeah.
And in another league, I was up 22, and the guy behind me had Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. And yeah. Diggs was just having this bad game all the way. I'm like, well, I got a shot at that one.
Yeah.
And anyway, Diggs and Allen combined for just enough points to get me eliminated in that one. But Allen, of course, didn't have enough points to keep me alive.
It's the worst.
And so Steven, very, very brutal. I completely blame Denny Carter, who told me Deontay Johnson was going to have a huge game.
Yep.
Just so you know.
Ultimately, I don't think.
And not Travis Etienne, who also did nothing for my team.
Absolutely nothing. Look, I don't think there's anything you can really do around Allen and Diggs. You're just starting those guys every week. They will turn it around with their new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, of course. They fired the offensive coordinator. Everything's fine now. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Things are not good. But yeah, I mean, right. And Trayvon Diggs is tweeting about how getting Stephon out of there. Like, it's going to be a fun week in Buffalo. There's Trayvon's tweet. Man, 14 got to get up out of there.
Why?
With crying emojis for those that are just listening. And then he goes, let's not forget, he didn't start going off till bro got there. That's
come
a shot
on,
at Josh
man.
Allen.
You ain't got it, dude. Man, listen, Stephon, I know they're brothers, man. Stephon Diggs is a grown-ass man. Let him handle what he got to handle with his quarterback. What Trayvon is doing is creating drama. He knows that we're going to play this.
That's right.
He knows all the outlets are going to post this, post them tweets, man.
Yeah.
Get your knee right and play. Get back to being the player we know you can, and let your brother and his quarterback work out what they got to work out.
Yeah, you know what that is? That is hashtag not helpful.
He ain't playing for Dallas. Stephon Diggs is never going to go play for the Cowboys, and maybe when he like 36 or something.
Yeah.
Not now.
That makes sense. But I agree with you, Jay, from a fantasy standpoint. Very frustrating day at the office. Give credit to the Broncos defense, who played well. Again, they slowed down the Chiefs before the bye as well. The Broncos are playing defense like, candidly, we all expected them to at the beginning of the season. So it's bad day at the office for Allen and Diggs. What are you going to do? Also, same for Gabe Davis. That is what it is. I mean, like with Gabe Davis, you either always start him or never start him as well. I think if there was one positive in a game in which the Bills offense clearly, starts and stops, Dalton Kincaid continues to produce. He's now had 15 or more fantasy points in four straight. He's the fifth best tight end in fantasy over the last month as well. Allen obviously trusts him when they're getting close. He's got a 24% target share, this kid.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a locked-in tight end one. Allen seems to have that rapport to him. And the good thing is that he's made mistakes, and Allen keeps on going back to him. So he's a no-brainer start every week. A little bit more of a, well, less of a no-brainer, Lawrence. James Cook, who was up and down, got benched after the fumble on the first play, and then he comes back in, fumbles again, but it's like an Australian rules football bounce, comes back to him, sprints down the field. What are you expecting from Cook going forward?
Well, you know, Leonard Fournette is coming. He himself sent out a tweet that was like, my time is coming. And I think it is. I think they'll look for a little more explosiveness in Leonard Fournette as opposed to Latavius Murray. I think he could come and get that role. So James Cook, his fantasy value obviously won't die because we see he could still make a breakaway run and catch his own fumble. So you just have to temper maybe the expectations going forward with Leonard Fournette
that,
coming.
That play right there where he ran, he got stripped of the ball bounces right back into his hands, and then he keeps running, was Ken Dorsey's best call, I thought, of the game as well. Other side of the ball, yeah, I mean, again, Latavius Murray, we'll see when Fournette, and we'll talk about that when that actually happens, but it feels like it's going to be more of a three-headed committee.
Yeah.
As great as this game was about Cook, he still finishes as running back 23. He's still fumbling. He's still not getting red zone carries. He's gotten less than 30% of the red zone carries for the Bills this season. Maybe a new offense coordinator gets him more involved, but he's merely a high-end flex, low-end RB2 as well. Other side of the ball, we talked about Russell Wilson in waivers. To me, you don't love the wide receivers, but if you have to pick a Broncos one, it is Cortland Sutton, who has now scored a touchdown. He's Mr. Touchdown. He's scored in 7 of the 9 games they played so far this year as well. Not getting a ton of yardage, Lawrence, but you prefer him over Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, 100%. And just real quick on Javonte Williams, he's getting going, right? Matthew, you said on a fantasy football pregame that he'd be a top 10 running back. He was RB5, so he's looking. Yeah, there you go. You called that shot. We give credit there. Javonte Williams is on his way.
Okay, we're going to break when we come back. Back to the futures.
P. Ryan and McLaughlin are more just now insurance guys. It is Javonte Williams' backfield as well. When we return, bets.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat, same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code BERRY when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In 2 clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clear skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clear skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Back to the futures. I'll kick us off.
Yep.
I'm taking DeMar Hamlin at -200 to win Comeback Player of the Year. I understand it's -200, but that implies he's a 67% chance to win this award. I'm sorry. He's a 90% plus chance to win this award. He came back from the dead. It was an incredible story. He was out there last night playing snaps on defense. Can you just imagine he's at the NFL Honors Night and he's there with the other finalists for that award and then they read out someone else's name?
Right.
Like, it's just not going to happen.
Right. Yes. Aaron Rodgers coming back from the Achilles. Josh Dobbs coming back from... obscurity.
Yeah. Ultimately, I think Hamlin will just win
because
of
the story
and everything he's doing in the community, all of that. Lawrence, what's
your
bet?
He is an easy guy to root for.
I'm going to go with my guy Lamar Jackson here at plus 425. He's got the third best odds right now, even still after that loss to the Cleveland Browns. This was at plus 2100 after they lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers about a month ago. He's about to have a schedule where he has to turn into Let It Go Lamar versus the Bengals, Chargers, Dolphins down the line. They're going to have to start throwing the ball, so I'm going with Lamar there.
Okay,
find yourself
Matthew?
Somebody who looks at you the way that Lawrence looks at Lamar Jackson.
You will never.
Okay, what do you got, Matthew?
How about CeeDee Lamb for Offensive Player of the Year at 35-1, right? Like, the Cowboys are having an unbelievable year, and I think somebody has to reward them somehow. Dak's not winning MVP. McCarthy's not winning Coach of the Year. So it's either CeeDee Lamb for Offensive Player of the Year or Micah Parsons for Defensive Player of the Year. And we all think Myles Garrett probably wins that as well. So give me 35-1 on CeeDee Lamb Offensive Player of the Year.
Three straight games of 150-plus receiving yards.
My guy, eight. They can't run the ball, but they're throwing it to me. It's a monster year. It's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. For Lawrence and Jay, I'm Matthew. We will see you back here tomorrow. Get better, Will. Connor. Or I don't know what that means. Peace out.
Better, Will.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.